In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is a familiar parable about the sower, and it is one of the few parables that is actually explained in the Scriptures. The Lord explains it to His disciples after they hear it because it was basically unintelligible to them. They had no idea what He was talking about. And to be honest with you, in this day and in every day, there are people that have no idea what this parable means, nor what the explanation means. So the Lord explained it pretty well, but He used certain words that we should take note of very, very carefully. There are four kinds of earth, four kinds of souls, four kinds of people. The parable says only one of these kinds of people bore fruit. The rest of them didn't bear fruit. Now, since bearing fruit is the way of Christianity, if you don't bear fruit, you're not saved. This is a way of saying that these people did not enter into the kingdom. These people might have believed for a spell. Some of them believed all their life. Some of them did not believe at all. Whether they believed for a spell or for all their life or never at all, if they did not bear fruit, they are not saved. And this is what many people do not understand about the explanation of this parable. That it is only a few people in the world that will be saved. Not because God does not want to save them. God wills that all be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. But because most people are these three kinds of ground that do not bear fruit. Now the first one is pretty much, hopefully, not applying to anyone here. That is people who hear the word of God, but it doesn't even register to them. It just is completely, their soul is completely insensible to Christianity, to belief. The birds of the air, that is the demons, snatch it away before it takes any root in their soul whatsoever. And since all of us are in church today, one would assume that all of us have heard the word of God and believed it. The second kind of ground is the rocky ground. And the Lord says that they're the ones who hear and receive the word with joy, but they have no root. So for a while they believe, and then in a time of temptation they go away. This describes an enormous amount of people, including people who walk through the doors of Orthodox churches. Now, what can we do to not be the rock? The rock is people who, they're not willing to suffer. They're not willing to struggle. They see Christianity only as rules and customs, maybe their ethnic origin, but they don't see Christianity as a battle to become one with God. And they have no root, which means they have done nothing whatsoever to struggle. So the time of temptation comes and they fall away. The Lord says those are in the thorns, are they which they hear the word, and these are ones who might believe all their life. And then they go forth and they're choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, bringing forth no fruit to perfection. The Lord says cares, riches, and pleasures. In other words, distractions and bad priorities. Having cares, the wrong kind of cares, for the things that are worldly brings us away from God, and eventually we fall away from Him and we do not bear any good fruit. Now, I've told you many times, I'll keep telling you because I really think it's pivotal. It's the most important thing that I can tell you is how to change your mind, change your way of life. That I believe is the pastor's major goal for his flock and for himself. And it should be your goal for yourself. To change the way you think, to change the person you are, to change your priorities. I've told you many times things that you can do this. Reading the scriptures, praying with attention, fasting with purpose, struggling to fulfill the gospel that you read in your daily life. Those things will change you. They will make you a different person. They will reform you so that you don't have cares for riches, for people having a good opinion of you, for something in your career, for entertainments, for all the rest. You'll change. Now, what the parable doesn't say is that you can change the kind of ground you're on, or the kind of ground, not that you're on, that you are. If you're a person who has cares for the world and you struggle against these cares, then eventually you will not have cares for the world but for God. But you have to want to try. You have to desire it. In my experience as a pastor, most people are pretty satisfied with the kind of person they are. They're not satisfied with their situation or with their income level or with their family situation or things like that, or they think they're overweight or they want to quit smoking. They have things that they don't like about themselves. But in general, they really don't want to change who they are. That's not Christianity. Christianity is looking at yourself and desiring to change. And so the Lord says that these people that don't desire to change, that are choked with the world so that they don't see God, have cares and riches and pleasures of this life. And they bring forth no fruit to perfection. Then the Lord describes the only person who is saved, the good ground. And he says that they have an honest and a good heart, and they hear the word of God and keep it. Now, why does he pick these things out? Very few people are honest. I think an honest person is kind of like hen's teeth. There aren't too many hen's teeth around, are there? Honesty is to be like God. Because God always tells the truth. So if you're a sinner, all right. I've told you before, I'm not impressed with if a person sins. What scares me is when a person doesn't struggle against their sin. Then they're lost. And what weakens our struggle against sin is our dishonesty. And to not have a good heart. Now, this parable basically blasts Calvin and his minions out of the water. We must receive the word of God and do something about it. We're responsible for being good ground. We're responsible for struggling to follow the gospel. Now, thank God, we're not responsible for changing ourselves. God will do that. But we're responsible for desiring to change. And so we must receive the word of God and in a good heart in order to have salvation. So what does this mean, to have an honest and a good heart? Well, honesty is pretty easy. You don't lie to others or to yourself. You don't have ulterior motives. You don't have hidden agendas. It's a very difficult thing. Just check it out. Go through the day and see if you tell the truth all day long. But the most important part of his phrase here is a good heart. Because God is good. I've told you many times, if you can't stop sinning, at least be kind. Those who are kind will find their way and be saved. Those who are unkind, it doesn't matter what else they do or don't do. Doesn't matter if they're virgins. Doesn't matter if they're righteous. Doesn't matter if they're bishops. Doesn't matter if they know the scriptures from beginning to end. If they're not good, they won't be saved. And what is this goodness? This goodness is the fulfillment of the great commandment and the second one, which is like it. Now, in fulfilling the great commandment, which you all should know, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, all your strength. In fulfilling that, we fulfill the second commandment, which is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. To love your neighbor as yourself is another way of saying to have a good heart, to care about others, to have empathy for others' sufferings, to take care of others, to pray for others, to have it matter when other people suffer. Now, if you have a good heart, then God will make you good. God will help you with all of your sins. A person who is not good in their heart, a person who does not love his brother, that person can't be saved. Not according to the scriptures. So to have this good heart, to have this honest and good heart, you must labor. Christianity is labor. There's a whole group of people that confess Christ who do not believe that Christianity is labor. It is. Otherwise, the Lord would not have said, "Take my yoke upon you." A yoke is used for labor. He would not have said, "Take up your cross and follow me." Carrying a cross is labor. He would not have given us orders such as to forgive our brother. And all of us know that that is labor. That can be very difficult to do. And all the rest of his commandments are labor. And we are called to labor in this way. Otherwise, we won't be saved. The parable is really scary, but also very uplifting. It's frightening because of so many people that will not be saved, including those who know the scriptures, including those who come to church, including those who sing in the choir, including those who serve at the altar. But it's also warms my heart because the Lord just says, those who receive the word in an honest and a good heart. So he didn't say you had to stop sinning. He said you have to be honest and good. Now, with being honest and good, God fills you with grace, and you do become good in all the measurable ways about sin. But that's not his requirement, to not sin. His requirement is to be honest and good and receive the word. You receive that word and you bring forth fruit unto perfection. This bringing forth of fruit is the passions being jettisoned from your soul and the virtues being implanted. That's the fruit. May God grant that we are good ground. If you're not reading the Bible, you're in trouble. Your soul is in trouble if you're not reading the Bible. If you're not praying with attention every day, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. You've got a possibility of being that probably the second or the third kind of ground. Christianity is always about the bearing of fruit because we are called to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect, so therefore the imperfections in us must be changed into perfections. So we are called to bring forth fruit and to be good ground. May God help you to do this. This is something nobody can do for you. You can listen to 1,000 sermons and still not be the good ground. Being the good ground is pretty simple, really. Be honest with yourself and with others. Simple but not easy, because most of us are addicted to dishonesty. And be good in your heart. Love others. Let yourself have no place whatsoever for judgment of others, hatred of others, not caring about others, indifference about others. If you do this, despite whatever other sins you have, maybe you're lazy, maybe you drink too much, maybe you curse, maybe you have sexual problems. If you have a good heart and desire to change, including the sins, by the way, you can't just say, "Oh, I'll be good and I'll be able to do these things," sort of like a tit for tat, then God will help you. So the key to becoming perfected is not as much to fight individual sins as to become a different person. To have the Word of God be implanted in us and bear fruit. So to prepare our, continually be preparing our ground, and it's a process. It's not something that happens once and then you don't have to do it anymore. Anybody who's a gardener knows that you till the ground and you plant the seed and everything looks perfect. And then 2 months later there are weeds and you have to take care of the weeds. And if you don't continually till the ground and fertilize it and weed it, it becomes bad ground, even if it was good ground. So this parable is telling you, you must struggle to fulfill the commandments, to bring forth fruit. It's not just about believing. The devil believes. And it gives you the key to be able to receive the Word of God. These two words that the Lord uses, honest and good. So, you should ask, with God being your helper, to become a more honest person. Not devious, not hiding anything, not lying, not stealing, but honest. And even if you still do bad things, if you're honest, God will see your honesty and He will bring His grace to you. And also be good. In this context, good means care about others. And desire to follow the commandments. All you need is a desire. God performs the work. He gives you the ability. May God help us all to be good ground. Amen.